Father, as we now come before you to your word, our prayer is that, Lord, that we will come with an open heart to hear your word. And God, that as we sang a moment ago, that our faith would rest upon the solid rock of Christ and the promise that you have given us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many of you this morning feel saved? Ooh. So a few of you feel saved? I'm glad a few of you feel saved. All right. So if you're feeling saved this morning, I'm not preaching to you. And so what that means is you can get a nap in for a few minutes, all right? All right? But, yeah, don't snore. But, however, if you think that you will always feel saved, I have news for you. Your feelings are going to lie to you one of these days. And so I guess even if you're feeling saved today, you probably ought to pay attention because you might need what I'm sharing with you one day. A common complaint that I have heard from Christians over the years is, Pastor, I don't feel saved. I've heard that a number of times in the last couple of weeks. Well, I got some news for you. Sometimes I don't feel saved either. Friday night, my family can attest to you. I came in, I was tired, my brain was fried, it had been a long day, and I lost my temper. I said things I shouldn't have said. I had a bottle with a little bit of tea in the bottom of it, and I wasn't feeling saved. I was angry and frustrated. I just had enough, and I just slammed it down. You know, this plastic bottle, thank goodness. Yeah, you ever been that way? Yeah, sure. If you haven't, you're not telling the truth, okay? And in that moment, I didn't feel very saved. You see, at times we see our sin, our weakness, our frailties, our limitations, and our unworthiness. And we just don't feel like we're saved when we focus on those things. So, if you're like me, there are times where you don't feel like you're saved. Number one, you're not alone. That's some good news. But number two, there's an answer for those times. And that's even better news. You know, it was the great reformer Martin Luther, who early in his journey of faith greatly struggled with not feeling saved. And he finally came to understand this most fundamental aspect of our faith. What I'm going to share with you this morning probably for many of you will not be anything new. But it's something we need to be reminded of. And it's something that Martin Luther, through his life and his struggles with depression and not feeling saved, constantly had to remind himself. And here is something he wrote. He wrote, "Feelings come and feelings go." Now, he wrote this in German and it's been translated to English. Yeah. "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught or nothing else is worth believing." Your feelings will lie to you. Our faith, the assurance of our salvation, has nothing to do with our emotional state or how we are feeling in that moment. Martin Luther rightly said that no, our salvation is based on the warrants or the promises of the Word of God, and there's nothing else worth believing or listening to. So today I'm very quickly going to rehearse with you five facts that will get you past not feeling saved and resting on the warrants that are found in the Word of God. So are you ready? These are scriptures you've heard me say over and over again in the 10 years I've been here. And here's the first fact. God wants you to be saved. You ever feel like God doesn't want you? That God doesn't love you? That there's no way God could accept you? That's all a lie from the very depths of hell itself. It's a fundamental fact. God wants you to be saved. All right, I can say that, but I can back that up with a fact from Scripture. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, look at this verse. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. What that means is God always keeps his promise, and he's not slow about it. He keeps his promises immediately. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. That means God never gives up on you, not wishing for any to perish. Now look at that word, any. What does that mean? That means you, me. That means everybody. That God does not want anybody to perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but for all. Look at that word all. That's everyone. God wants everyone to come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to come to Christ. You are not going to get to a place in your life where God looks at you and says, I don't want that one anymore. God wants you. So if you're thinking, I'm not worthy of being saved, well, you're right. But that has no effect on God's opinion. God's opinion towards you is he wants you to be saved. So that is fact number one. Stand on that fact. There's a second fact I want you to stand on. God has provided a way for you to be saved. Every time I share the gospel with someone, when I share it in a sermon, these are verses I quote. But look at the way God is providing. Now again, this is Christianity 101 if you've accepted Christ already. But here it is. Here's what Paul says. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Now, what does that mean? Paul is writing to the church, to the believers at the church at Corinth, and he's saying to them, the first and foremost thing I want you to get. This is the most important thing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Here's the main thing. The main thing is what I first got too. And this is the gospel. That Christ died for our sins. That God knew that we were separated by our sins, and so Christ died for us. God has provided a way for you to be saved. Christ died for your sins. Remember, fact number one, God wants you to be saved. Fact number two, you can't do it yourself, and so God has provided a way for you to be saved. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And that he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Remember that verse before that we read? 2 Peter 3:9 about God keeping his promises? God had promised long before Christ came. According to the Scriptures. Just in keeping with the promise of God, God has kept his promise. And he has sent Christ, who has died on the cross for our sins, a substitute in our place. So that's fact number two. So what's fact number one? God wants you to be saved. What's fact number two? God has provided a way for you to be saved. Now let's move to fact number three. There is nothing you can do to be saved on your own. Again, verses that many of us in this room know. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. What does that mean? Break it down. How are you saved? By grace. By grace. That's God's gift. That word grace is the Greek word charis. It just means gift. It is a gift of God. You didn't do it. What is the channel that grace is applied to you? See the italicized? I emphasize that. Through faith. By simply believing, resting, trusting on the fact that Christ died for your sins, that God's provided a way, you receive that gift through faith. And it's not of yourselves. Paul reminds you, you're not going to earn it. There's nothing you can do to get it. It's a gift. It is the gift of God. And he emphasizes it again. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So that you don't have anything to brag about. Hey, look how good I am. No. Has nothing to do with it. Understand this. The Bible never says that you are saved by faith. The Bible says you are saved through faith in the grace of God. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It's through the means of faith. Faith allows the Holy Spirit. Remember what I did with the children, the soap? Faith allows the soap of Christ to come to you. So that's fact number three. Let's look at fact number four. God tells you how to be saved. Verses I quote all the time. If you learned the Romans Road gospel presentation, you know these verses. Romans 10, 9, and 13. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, right? What does it mean to confess? It means to make a public. To make public. To be serious enough about it that you're willing to claim Christ. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel that if we are willing to confess him before men, that he will not be ashamed to confess us before his Father. It's important. So we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. See, because you got to believe in a risen Savior, not a dead Savior. And if you do those things, you will be saved. And then he tells you how to be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I capitalize that for you. So here's the facts up to this point. God wants you to be saved. God has provided the means. God has made a way for you to be saved. That is two. Three, there is nothing you can do on your own to be saved. Four, God tells you how to be saved. So you may be saying, I don't feel saved today. Well, let me tell you. If you've come through the first four facts and you got to fact number four, and you remember that moment in time, it might be a moment in time, it might have been a season of time, but where your life was transformed, your heart was transformed by this truth, where you began to trust in the death of Christ and his resurrection for your salvation rather than your own goodness in trying to work and be good to get to heaven. And that transformation's happened. And you can remember whether it was a moment like me, December 30th, 1973, or if it maybe was like my wife where it was a general transition, a season, But you can came to that point where you called on the Lord and asked him to forgive you and save you, and you trusted him and accepted him as Savior and believed and put your faith in him. You've done that. Now here's where people struggle. They do these four things, and their faith is doing so well. It's built on these four facts. But then the devil comes in and starts whispering in their ear, "Oh, you've blown it. And now the Lord's turned his back on you." Well, you may have blown it. I have blown it many times since I've been saved. I blew it, as I said, Friday night. I've blown it. But here's the deal. Since these facts from the scripture tell me that everything to do with my saving thus far is all on the work of Christ rather than my work, I can rejoice in this fifth fact. There is nothing you can do to become unsaved once you have been saved. Now, this doctrine is what sets us apart as Baptists from many other denominations. It's called the security of the believer. If you really have been born again, it is absolutely impossible for you to become unborn again. Why is that? It's because salvation is the gift of God. And God does not take back what he has given. I got some scriptural facts for it. The very words of Jesus. These words have brought me assurance for decades. It's the words of Christ in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says to those who have come in faith to him, he says, "I give eternal life to them." Jesus did not say, "They have earned my good favor." He doesn't say, "They worked hard and were good enough, and so I gave them eternal life." He said, "No, I give it to them. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish." You see that promise? I've given it, and they're never going to perish. What happens in John chapter 11, right after Jesus says these words? In John chapter 11, Jesus finds himself speaking to two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the occasion is their brother Lazarus has died. And Jesus says, in reference to Lazarus and to us, that he who believes in me, though he were dead, though his body dies, yet shall he live. They will never perish. Even though the body dies, yet shall he or she live. And once you've received the eternal life in Christ, do you see what Jesus promises you? I've underlined it and I've capitalized it. "And no one will snatch them out of my hand." No one. No one. We sang a song just a moment ago that's built on this verse. "Nothing can pluck me from his hand." That's where that comes from. It's scriptural. No one's going to take you out of the hand of Christ. And when you see no one, that even means yourself. You're included in that. No one can take you out of the hand of Christ. And then Jesus kind of gives us this picture. And I love this illustration. Okay? Who put you in the hand of Christ? You see it? It's there in verse 29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." There's that no one. So here's the picture. When you come to Christ in faith, God picks you up and he puts you in the hand of Christ. And Jesus grasps you firmly. And so you're in the hand of Christ. And then Jesus is in effect saying then, as you're in my hand, God then, the Father, wraps his hand around mine. And you're, while you're in my hand, you are also in the Father's hand. Now, do you think anything's going to break that grip? No. No. Hear me. You are never going to be disqualified from your salvation once God has given it to you. And the reason why you will never be disqualified is because you were never qualified in the first place. You hear me? You were never qualified in the first place. God gave you the gift. How in the world can you disqualify someone who was never qualified? Burn these words into your heart and mind. You are not holding on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to you. Amen. You're not holding yourself in the hand of Christ with the Father's hands wrapped around his. Jesus and the Father are holding you. And so I get to the end of this very simple message with this question. Do you believe Christ can save you or not? There is no middle ground. You either believe that he can or you don't. So as I've gone through these five facts with you this morning, I want to point this one last thing out. If you've given your life to Christ, it doesn't matter if you feel saved or not. The fact is, based on the authority, the warrant, as Martin Luther put it, of the Word of God, you're saved. Settle it. Be sure. Remember what the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, I have written these things that you might know that you have eternal life. Know it. Don't be in doubt. But if you haven't given your life to Christ, remember, God shows you how. We're going to have an invitation. And I'm going to stand down here at the front. And if you have not given your life to Christ, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. You can do it right where you're at, there at your seat. But then you got to come and you got to confess and not be ashamed of Jesus. And it's your opportunity to come. And I'll pray with you if you want to help on how to give your life to Christ, to call on his name. But you can do it at your seat. But then you've got to confess before others the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. And you can do that right now. Will you? Let's all stand. I ask our praise team to come up.